Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Without CeeDee Lamb, there's no shot. Like, without CeeDee Lamb, we're talking, you know, you're competing for like a top 10 draft pick because your offense won't be able to score. So Dak Prescott wants a new contract. He's not going to get it, and it doesn't seem like he's going to get it this season. CeeDee Lamb wants a new contract, and it certainly doesn't feel like it right now. To Jerry's words, no urgency. If CeeDee holds out for two games, when you're a fringe playoff team, that matters big time.
Dan Orlovsky, ESPN, getting some Cowboy stuff with Marcus Mosher coming up on the Western Hotline. I will effort to not try to get too much fantasy in, but when I see Locked On Dynasty in the bio, it's going to be tough. Morning, Marcus. Thanks for getting up with us.
Oh, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
For sure. Before we get into some of the stuff that's going on with Dallas right now and looking ahead to their season, anything to offer on Ben DiNucci? I mean, I don't even think he'll make the Bills' 53-man roster. He'll play some preseason games, I'm sure, but he played a Sunday night game for the Cowboys a couple years ago, no?
He did. It was against the Eagles. It was a big game. He wasn't ready to play in that game, but I always really liked watching Ben DiNucci practice. He's a great guy. I think he'll make preseason fun, and that's probably all you're looking for right now.
Make the preseason fun. Perfect. That's all you need. Nobody needs to have him play during the season anyway.
Exactly.
I think there was some UFL or USFL, one of those leagues he played well in, I think, since then also.
There were several spring leagues that were interested in Ben DiNucci because he's got talent. He's athletic. He's got a big arm.
Mm-hmm.
He just needs more development. But, I mean, again, you're looking at a practice squad quarterback maybe.
Okay. All right. Well, that's about what I was expecting to hear on Ben DiNucci, who the Bills signed yesterday. Again, like in part because Trubisky's away with a personal thing and Shane Buechele's injured. So Allen's been their only quarterback at practice. They just need someone else even to run. Like, the second and third stringers need someone to throw to them at practice, too. So, practice is a part of it.
Yeah, it's a camp arm.
Yeah, camp arm.
Camp arm.
Marcus Mosher, if you want to follow him on Twitter, @Marcus_Mosher, Locked On Cowboys, 33rd team as well. So, Marcus, heading into this year and this offseason, has it been kind of a – what's the right way to describe what training camp has been like for the Cowboys, where there's kind of this sideshow that's going on right now between Jerry Jones and CeeDee Lamb?
Listen, we can say a lot of things about Mike McCarthy, but he's done a pretty good job of keeping all the distractions away and running a pretty good training camp. It's It's been very competitive. I thought both sides of the ball looked pretty good in the first preseason game. He's not letting the business decisions from Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones affect the product that's on the field. So I've actually been pretty impressed by what's been happening in practice. It's just all the other nonsense, which is what gets the national attention.
Right, and especially when you have a name as big as Lamb involved. So what do you think? What do you think this ends up heading towards? He's in his fifth year option. Do you think a contract is likely, despite the way Jones has kind of talked about it? Do you think he plays it out? The one spot I won't try to jump to with Lamb, even here, with the Bills are a team that I would like to see add a number one receiver in the next 12 months, maybe after the year's more likely. And it's fun to daydream about a player as great as CeeDee Lamb, but especially given that he's in Dallas, I don't know, you just don't see the Cowboys, I feel like, often let a star like that go because they're not willing to pay him or something eventually.
I would be shocked if CeeDee Lamb doesn't have a contract in the next 2 weeks. Listen, they love CeeDee Lamb. They're not going to mess around here. I know he's holding out, but even Jerry Jones kind of spilled the beans a little bit. He said, you know, even if he was here on this team, he wouldn't be doing much because we just need him for the regular season. He had such a big workload last year that Mike McCarthy talked about limiting what he was going to do in training camp anyways because they didn't want to overwork him. So I think this is going to be a thing where once the Cowboys leave Oxnard, California, which is where they're doing the training camp now, and go back to Dallas, I would expect a deal to get done pretty quickly. I see no scenario in which CeeDee Lamb misses a game. I see no scenario where the Cowboys even contemplate a trade. They kind of already know the number that CeeDee Lamb wants. He wants around $34 million a year. The only the only problem that the Cowboys and Lamb are coming to right now is how big are the guarantees and how many years? CeeDee Lamb with like a four-year deal, the Cowboys with like a five-year deal. It's pretty easy to solve this stuff. You know, they could probably solve it in a day if they wanted to. I just don't think there's an urgency to get it done now when they know they don't need him for another week or so.
Right. Their attitude or their philosophy with contracts in general, it comes from Jones, I would think. Like, they are a team that often will pay guys later than others. Like, Jamar Chase might get paid. Well, I guess the owner doesn't want to do it, so maybe he won't. But some guys get paid before that fifth-year option. But we've seen this with Dak. We're now seeing it with Lamb a little bit. Is this kind of a overall way the Cowboys just do business where they kind of wait until they feel like they have to pay a guy?
I mean, that's part of it. There's also part of the Joneses that would rather see somebody put up multiple years of high-level production before they give out a massive contract. Like, they're willing to have to pay more to have another year or so of production so they know they're not just getting a flash in the pan. And they've been burned recently by signing a few players early in their contracts and then just them kind of washing out, whether it's a Jalen Smith a couple of years ago or a Terrence Steele or a Lyle Collins. Like, some of those deals that they signed early just completely backfired on them. And I think they just had a total philosophy shift when it came to these contracts. Like, hey, let's let guys play out their rookie contract. Let's let them play to their fifth-year option, and then we'll give them the deal because we'll just have a bigger sample size to go off of. But in the case of Dak, that was different. The Cowboys just have no leverage with Dak. And it's not a question of whether the Cowboys want to bring back Dak, because they absolutely do. Like, if they could sign Dak to a $60 million deal right now, they would do that. It's Dak's call. It's whether Dak wants to be back in 2025. But again, I think they would like to do a deal there if they could.
Is there a real question about that, you think? Or do you think it's more about just the financials versus does he want to try something else somewhere?
Oh, I think there's absolutely a chance that he could leave because Jerry Jones earlier this offseason was talking about the contract negotiations with Dak, and he said it's not so much trying to get him to sign, it's like recruiting. We're trying to recruit him to stay beyond the 2024 season because they know that Dak holds all the leverage, right? The Cowboys can't franchise tag him. They know that every day that goes by is closer and closer to him hitting free agency, and once he hits the open market, the numbers are going to be massive, and there's going to be several teams trying to chase him. So Dallas is doing everything in their power to try to convince him to stay, We'll see if Dak ultimately decides to do that or not.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, because I've always thought of it from the other way, but that would be – because Dak, man, if he made it to the open market, if he really wanted to just cash out as much as possible, like, I mean, look what Kirk Cousins gets in the open market. I mean, Dak should get all the guaranteed money in the world that he wants, I'm sure.
And Dak made a comment early on in the training camp this year that, you know, a lot of the great quarterbacks ended up switching teams, whether it was Peyton Manning go to the Broncos, you know, Tom Brady went to the Buccaneers. He saw Matt Stafford go to the Rams and win a Super Bowl. And he even mentioned Kirk Cousins. So maybe there would be some excitement in, for Dak in switching teams and playing with a new coaching staff. I think the Cowboys are terrified of the possibility of Dak leaving and going to the Giants, who desperately need a quarterback. So they're doing everything they can to try to get Dak to stay. It's just not really their decision.
Wow, the Dak on the Giants. I mean, even just, you know, daydreaming about that for a moment. Marcus Mosher on the Western Hotline on the Cowboys going into this year. So I guess how much of that, and maybe just the Cowboys season in general, is about playoff success this year? Like, do you think that's a piece of the Dak conversation, almost like trying to convince him, like, oh no, you should be a part of this on your next contract as well? How much of it is proving they can go deep into the playoffs, given that, I mean, that's the next hurdle, right? Like, talent-wise, point differential, like, there were so many reasons to think they were a legit Super Bowl contender last year, but then what happens to the Packers happens. So I don't know, like, does that put more pressure on them even in the Dak situation, let alone McCarthy's job and just kind of the whole scope of the Cowboys season? It's just you're kind of waiting for January?
I mean, yes, for the Cowboys' perspective, almost nothing they do in the regular season is going to matter, right? If they win 11 games this year, nobody's going to care. I mean, it's just a fact. If they win 12 games like they won the last three years, nobody's going to care until we get to January and the playoff games start. And it's a really weird spot to be in, right, where your regular season almost doesn't matter. But that's just the case for the Cowboys, who only have a few playoff wins over the last 20 years. The Cowboys feel like they need to advance further in the playoffs to continue to spend the money that they're spending on this current roster. And I think that's what Jerry Jones means when he says all in. I'm all in on this team. If they can't get past a certain point in the playoffs or take a step from where they did last year, then I think we're looking at potentially a full rebuild in 2025, and not necessarily, you know, Jerry Jones trading all these picks to go try to win this season. I just don't think he wants to invest more money and more assets into this team. And as for Dak, I think if Dak doesn't get a contract before week one, he's gone. I think he'll be gone in 2025. Dak does not negotiate contracts during the season. He doesn't want to think about contracts. But if we get through the 2024 season and he doesn't have a contract, I think he's gone. So I think there is some urgency from the Cowboys to try to get a deal done. But again, it's how willing is Dak to sign a deal right now when he knows what free agency could hold from him, you know, 9 months down from now.
Marcus Mosher on the Western Hotline. Good stuff there on Prescott. All right, what holds them back from achieving success in the postseason? How about on the offense? I mean, their whole offense from the outside, from my perspective, just kind of appears to be Dak and Lamb. Lamb with 180 targets, like crazy high percentage. But what about the weapons around him, the offensive line, Elliott being back in the building? Offensively, is there optimism even around Prescott and Lamb?
Yeah, I mean, I think they have a lot of talent. I think Brandon Cooks really came on in the second half of last year. Jake Ferguson is somebody who had a breakout year in year two. They expect big things from him. Jalen Tolbert is somebody they drafted in the third round during the 2022 draft, who's had an awesome training camp. But in order for this team to kind of make that next step in the playoffs, they've got to have a physical run game that they can rely on. And unfortunately, I just don't see that happening with Ezekiel Elliott at this stage in his career. They're going to be starting two rookies on the offensive line. I think they just need to be not more balanced, because I think that's what everybody says, but we know this team is going to run through Dak and CeeDee. They just need to have a rushing attack that they can rely on when it matters. And like the game we saw last year against Buffalo, the weather was bad. It was windy. It was rainy. And the Cowboys could not run the ball. And I think that's one of the biggest issues this team has had when it comes to playing big-time opponents, especially on the road.
And then what about defensively in Dallas this year? What's the outlook?
I think the defense is going to be fantastic. Like it's been the last couple of years. They've led the league in turnovers over the last 3 years. They have superstars on defense with Micah Parsons and Trayvon Diggs and Deron Bland. It's the interior of their defensive line. It's still very, very weak, and I have concerns about whether or not they can hold up against the run. They're really banking on Mozzie Smith, their first-round pick for the 2023 draft, to have a big sophomore season. We'll see. I'm a little dubious that that will happen, but they just don't have a lot of depth on the defensive line. They are significantly more thin at that position than they were over the last couple of years. I think that's what could ultimately hold them back against some of the better teams in the NFC.
Marcus Mosher, Locked On Cowboys, also writes for the 33rd team and Locked On Dynasty. Okay, I wanted to get two other quick Bills things with you before we let you go, because I read you on tight ends and fantasy recently, and me, like many, I'm sure, have a ton of drafts coming up. And I have found myself so far, Marcus, drafting a lot of Dalton Kincaid, and I saw you rank him fourth. How high do you think the ceiling is, and is he someone you would find yourself picking a lot, or is he going a little too high for you?
So I'm glad that you pointed this out. So, yes, I had Dalton Kincaid ranked fourth among tight ends, and that's behind Sam Laporta, Travis Kelce, and Mark Andrews. However, he's the one that I'm targeting in drafts with because he's actually the cheapest of the four and usually pretty significantly cheaper than the top three. I think Dalton Kincaid is going to lead this Buffalo team in targets. I think he's going to lead them in receptions. You have to remember, last year, there were so many different factors that contributed in Kincaid having a slow start, whether it was the back injury that he had in Utah, missing a lot of the offseason, and then playing behind Dawson Knox early in the year. But once we saw him become a full-time starter in the second half of the season, he was putting up essentially the same numbers as Sam Laporta in Detroit. I absolutely love Kincaid. He is my number one target at the tight end position. I'm trying not to leave any of my drafts without him.
All right, we are in lockstep then. Like, to me, I think it's going to come down to, like, I think targets are there, receptions are there. It's just for me, like, okay, what are we going to get for touchdowns? Because they're talking about using him in the red zone, but they didn't really do a lot of that last year. And that's the thing that could take him up to, like, tight end one or two, is if he could get the touchdown number up. I think the floor, though, seems pretty solid.
And that's the only difference between Sam Laporta and Dalton Kincaid. Sam Laporta scored 10 touchdowns last year.
Yeah.
Dalton Kincaid only had a couple. If you switch the touchdown totals, we're talking about Dalton Kincaid potentially as the number one overall tight end in fantasy.
Yep. And then I've got to get you on one other Bill, because we had you on in the spring after this guy signed. Mac Hollins, Marcus, like, I don't know, knowing your opinion on him, if listeners forgot, you'll share in a second. But I'm guessing you are not surprised that he has showed up to training camp and has basically earned a role on this offense this year, to the point where, I mean, the first depth chart last week, he was listed as a starter.
I'm not surprised at all. I mean, he has just a workmanlike attitude. He's going to block. He's going to do all the dirty work that you need on your offense. And he's going to play special teams if you need it. Now, as a pure receiver, there's certainly guys that are more talented than him. But if you want a guy that can run down the field, make big catches, make contested catches, he can do that. I've always thought he is a perfect number four receiver in the NFL. And if you need him to do a little bit more than that on any given week, he can handle it. I think Mac Hollins is just a very solid role player that every great offense needs.
Yeah. My guess right now is he'll end up splitting time with Coleman. That, Coleman will get more targets and more routes, but when it comes to blocking and a lot of the dirty work, like, Hollins is going to step in and do a lot of the stuff Gabe Davis used to do, which means he'll be playing.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Big body, special teams. So, yeah, Hollins so far is definitely leaving a good impression on the Bills. Marcus Mosher, again, more than just the Cowboys, good Cowboys content, but 33rd team as well. Thanks, Marcus. Appreciate the time, and maybe we'll catch up during the season.
Of course. Thank you.
Appreciate the time. The Cowboys, man, that on Prescott is so, so interesting. I've got a bet on our bet board in here with Sal. Dak Prescott over under 3.5 years with the Cowboys. So that was made last year, or maybe 2 years ago even. We marked it, though. Week one of 2026. If he's still the Cowboys quarterback week one 2026, I win the bet. If he's not, Sal wins the bet. And like we should clip that, Josh. He said the words in three different answers. He sounds like he thinks Prescott's leaving. Am I wrong on that? I picked up he thinks Prescott's leaving. He definitively said if he's not signed by week one, he thinks he's leaving. The one clip I'm going to want. Marcus said the words, the Cowboys are terrified of the idea of the Giants getting Dak Prescott. Oh, man, the stories. I mean, you think they talk Cowboys and NFC East too much on ESPN now. If Dak Prescott goes to the New York Giants, I mean, it's going to be like a soap opera. It's never going to end. Man, that would be interesting. It also would be the perfect move for the New York Giants. Man, if you're the Giants, imagine that. I mean, that could... Brian Daboll still is the head coach. That'd be nice. Dak as the quarterback. You steal him from a division rival who now would be nowhere. Trey Lance. They'd be nowhere at quarterback. You basically obliterate them as a contender. And now it's you and the Eagles, and you've got Malik Nabers, and you've got this build that you started up from a couple of years ago. The defense has improved. Now you've got Prescott as your quarterback. Oh, I do not like the Giants at all, but I would love to will that into existence. It's going to be so interesting.
And hey, the Cowboys could just go get Daniel Jones, right? That would fix the trade situation.
I mean, when have the he said the Cowboys could be kind of forced into a rebuild here. When have the Cowboys ever rebuilt?
When did the team start?
Like the 50s?
Then. That was the only, quote-unquote, rebuild. That was the only time they built anything.
Like
they haven't had to
right,
do anything since then.
I can't remember a time where the Cowboys were in rebuild mode. Ever. Maybe when Romo first showed up. Romo was undrafted. How did that go? Romo showed up, was a backup for 2 years.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Years. And then in year three, took the job, but he was 26. I guess maybe that. They went 6-4. Again, it's tough. I don't really know that there is a good year for this. All right, Cowboys. They're like actually interesting now to me. A lot of times they're like, they're being forced upon me, all the content in the world. You know, you watch any NFL show nationally and they're talking about the Dallas Cowboys. Oftentimes you're like, why are we talking about the Cowboys again? Now it's like, okay, no, I want to talk about the Cowboys. And as you heard there, Marcus, huge Matt Collins guy. 803-0550 is the phone number. Joe Marino, when we come back, we'll change gears, get all the way back into the Bills. What we should take from Chicago last Saturday in the preseason, which I don't think is much. We'll get Joe's take on that, and we'll look ahead to Pittsburgh, some of the battles, receiver. I want to get to defensive end with Joe a little bit and the battle that's going on there behind Greg Rousseau and AJ Epenesa and Von Miller. All that ahead. Joe Marino, Locked On Bills, when we come back here on Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy's off today. This is WGR.
A lot of times it's hard to see in a practice situation, like a guy like Khalil, right? You know, he goes out and in the game and you see the play against Pittsburgh last year and you saw the, you know, against Chicago. In practice, a lot of times those are tag off and, you know, it's a gain of three, a gain of four, but it's good to see in a game those situations when the rack comes to life.
Joe Brady, rack guy. Keeping tabs on that. The Bills in general, I think, are rack over yak. Interchangeable. We've asked Brandon Bean that. He uses both. 803-0550 is the phone number. Good morning. It's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy is off today. That is Joe Brady on Khalil Shakir. I'm sure he'll come up as we talk Bills and recap a little bit of what we saw against the Bears on Saturday. Joe Marino from Locked On Bills joins the show now, did the All-22 breakdown on his show, Locked On Bills. And Joe, not a lot went great, and I'm sure we'll get to that. Shakir, though, I mean, like, not that we're surprised by it, but at this point, we're not surprised by it, but he probably was one of the big positives, no? I mean, he had a couple of nice plays.
Yeah, no question, Joe. I mean, coming in, having three catches in the game, obviously not playing much of it, and still being able to be reliable and showing that yards after catch, run after catch, whatever you want to call it, ability on a couple of instances, and got some speed, right? He's a low 4.4 guy, and so I think as you look at this Bills wide receiver core, and certainly we speculate a lot about how it's going to come together this season, I think the involvement of Khalil Shakir is going to be significant, and what he strikes me as is the player on this team that if you just need a guy to go win a route, he's the guy that I think I have the most confidence in that can go out and do that on a specific play. I think that's going to lead to a lot of opportunity for him this season.
Yeah, even that one play that we're talking about with the rack where he kind of beats his man to the sideline after catching it. That's a fourth down. I thought, Joe, in that play, like that's the, you know, in a generic sense, that's the Beasley route. That's fourth and two. I need 5 yards. Who's going to sit down in the open space and get it for me? But the difference is, I don't know that Cole Beasley is beating his man to the sideline and turning it into 18 yards as opposed to five.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's that ability to accelerate and break those pursuit angles, and that leads to a lot of his yards after catch, in addition to being a pretty good player in terms of being able to slip contact and wiggle out of some things. And I think one of my favorite things about Khalil Shakir is we certainly label him a slot receiver, and I think he is. I certainly believe he could play on the outside as well. But what's different to me with Khalil Shakir than a lot of other slot receivers is it's not just those choice routes and just creating a little bit of leverage and catching the ball and turning and running. Khalil Shakir is good down the field. And I think we've seen that in his game, even last year throughout training camp and preseason. Well, not really preseason at this point, but training camp, where they're getting the ball to him down the field. So not just hey, catch, turn, run guy. This is a legit player that can get down the field. And Joe Brady loves to run that slot fade. And I think Khalil Shakir is going to have plenty of chances to do that this year.
Joe Marino, Locked On Bills and Locked On NFL Scouting Podcast on the Western Hotline at the Joe Marino on Twitter. Okay, so before we get to what didn't go well, before we do that, what else other than Khalil Shakir caught your eye that was good in a positive light on Saturday against the Bears?
I would say a number of the rookies, in particular on the offensive line, Tylan Grable and Cedric Van Pran-Granger, a couple of day three picks. I thought they were very, very promising. And Tylan Grable getting a chance to play right and left tackle in college was really just a left tackle, and he split his time between both spots. And I thought he showed a lot of comfort on the right side. I thought his technique was really good, movement skills, length. He really popped to me, and even had some good run reps where he was able to create some movement. So, you know, I think he'll probably be an inactive player this season, but you could see him maybe being on a Ryan Vandermark type trajectory where, you know, give it a year or so and he's suddenly the swing tackle for this team. And who knows what happens with Spencer Brown and that expiring contract, do the Bills want to keep him or not? You know, this is a guy that I can see climbing the depth chart and has a lot of skill. And then Cedric Van Pran Granger, he ran third string center behind, of course, McGovern and Alec Anderson. And I thought Cedric Van Pran Granger came in and was probably the Bills' best offensive lineman overall in the game. Now, I'll say this, it's, you know, going against the third and fourth stringers for the Bears, but you want to stand out in those instances, and I thought he did. Really good pass protection reps. I thought he was a wall in pass protection. Guys try to get to his edges. He stayed square, was able to use his hands and remained under control. And that, you know, the name of the game with Van Pran Granger is power, and they got him going on some short pulls, created some movement up front. And so there's some other standouts that I point to on the defensive side of the football when it comes to rookies. But the prevailing thought to me is both of those young offensive linemen, what they illustrated in their first preseason games.
You mentioned two linemen there that had pretty good days, pretty good afternoons. In general, how big an issue was pass protection for you in that game versus, especially with Shane Buechele, it felt like there were definitely plays where the quarterback was hanging onto the football far too long.
Yeah, I know that PFF's not the end-all, be-all. I think their grades is where you can really debate, but I think their data is good, and they charged, and Bills got sacked 8 times. 6 times was Shane Buechele. He held on to the ball over 3.5 seconds per drop back. They only charged the Bills' offensive line with 1 sack allowed of those 8, and I'd agree with them. I thought this was definitely more pocket management and decision-making from the quarterback, Trubisky and Buechele, a lot more than it was offensive linemen taking losses and losing one-on-one battles and giving up pressure. So, yeah, I think that was that in this game, and it's not always the case, but in this game, this was definitely more of a quarterback stat than an offensive line stat.
So on the overall, Joe, was it as bad as it looked or what the score was? I mean, it was 13-6 going into the fourth, so the score got away from them late. I guess, was it as bad as we think it was the whole game?
Well, I don't think the Bills played well at all. I think that's fair to call out. I think it's meaningful to point out that it was the Bears' second preseason game. It was the Bills' first. I think that matters, especially when you talk about how they kind of separated late. That's when, you know, those guys that are third, fourth string guys are now in their second game as opposed to guys stepping in for the first time, right? So I think that is definitely meaningful in this conversation. But what I saw from the Bills was really just a team that was, you could tell, trying to figure out some timing and chemistry. And certainly there's not a whole lot to get excited about from the game. I'm not trying to, like, spin this any particular direction, but it just felt very game one preseason. We've got some looks that we're not used to running the ball against, and because of that, we weren't ready to adjust on the fly, and maybe some of our timing was weird up front, and so we couldn't really hit the plays we wanted to in the run game. Or even you think about the defense and the pass rush, and you're watching the pass rush, and you got guys going through the same gap, you know, that's not going to work. That's going to create some problems. So it felt very week one preseason. I came out of the game thinking maybe the Bills were a little bit, like, apathetic in the game. I don't know if that was the case. I think it was just not a very cohesive effort from a team that obviously didn't game plan. They let you know that. And it's all coachable stuff. I think if you're Sean McDermott and his staff, you're probably, you know, you're not happy with how you played, but I think you're happy that you have that tape to point to, and there's just so many coachable opportunities throughout when studying the film that you think should position the Bills to be able to grow from it. So again, not trying to spin anything. They played poorly, there's no question, but I don't know that there's a lot to look at and come away thinking, oh man, I think this season's going to be a disaster.
Joe Marino on the Wester hotline, did you see enough snaps to get anything meaningful from Keon Coleman's day?
Yeah, I was paying a lot of attention to Keon Coleman, and I thought there was some good and I thought there was some bad. I think the good, and this is not really going to get anyone excited, but I thought some of the for love of the game stuff that you hear Sean McDermott and Joe Brady and Josh Allen talk about with clear out routes and running them with intent, I thought he did a good job. You could tell he was using his technique, and there was a couple of instances, including on one of those outbreaking completions to Khalil Shakir, where his job was to lift the coverage, and he had to kind of take a hard outside release to get to his spot, and he carried the corner, and they were able to get a completion. You saw him run some shallows and some mesh concepts, so that was all fine. And, of course, he made the one catch where he was facing some off coverage and was able to push vertical, snap off the route, and there was a lot of separation at the catch point. He was able to turn that into a first down conversion on, I think, a third and six. So I think all of that was good. Where I'm concerned was the two red zone targets that he had. And the Bills very intentionally schemed up two plays that isolated Keon Coleman to be able to win one-on-one in the red zone and get open. And boy, oh boy, he couldn't do it. The first was a situation where he was trying to break across the back line of the end zone. The corner has outside leverage, and Keon Coleman's trying to separate inside. And so that's a very advantageous look for Coleman. And he runs this route, and he kind of gives a hezy step. And when he's breaking out of the hezy step to drive towards that back line of the end zone, it doesn't happen with enough urgency, and it allows the corner to close down. And he didn't have the ability to kind of like reduce his shoulder and power through it and present an available target. And so like separating inside when the cornerback has outside leverage should be pretty straightforward. But, you know, that timing of that route and not being able to play through that contact led to him not being able to get open. Then the other one is kind of a situation where they schemed him for an opportunity to run like a skinny post little seam route. Mm-hmm. Again, they get the one-on-one that they want. And he's going up against Jalen Johnson, who is one of the best corners in the league. Like, I'll certainly give him that. But he was so tight in that coverage, and Keon Coleman just couldn't create the space to get his foot in the dirt to plant and drive. And so he's got to be able to manufacture that space for him in those instances. Everybody thinks red zone target, okay, that means he's got a big body and catch radius. No, you got to be able to create space. That's what you need to be able to do in the red zone. And so two very deliberate attempts to get him a chance to – catch a touchdown in front of the home audience in his debut. And Keon Coleman didn't have the route running ability in those two instances to maximize on the opportunities, where everything else was exactly what the Bills wanted on those plays.
All right. Good stuff on the specifics of those plays too. Cause if you're watching, like, I was in the stadium, so I was watching him a little closer, not to that detail. But if you're just watching it on TV, Joe, like, you might've only seen Coleman, what, like, the ball comes near him, and then it was did some people scream for a penalty on that one? Like, I thought it was close enough that I wouldn't have called that. Right. But that might have been all you saw, was just, hey, Coleman got climbed over the back of him, and what is he supposed to do? But what he was supposed to do was, you could have got more open on that play.
Yeah, that's kind of the beauty of my initial post-game podcast, where I give you my live takeaways, and my live takeaway was, man, they really just tried to force a couple throws to Keon Coleman in the red zone.
Yeah.
And you watch the all 22, it's like, man, they had a great idea here. He just couldn't win the route. He couldn't get the space. And so, yeah, they forced it to him because that's where the play was supposed to go.
Right.
And he just didn't get open. And that's kind of the concern with Keon Coleman. You kind of wonder, I think he's going to have a big role for this team, but he's going to win in different ways. If you're going to ask him to win routes, it's probably not going to work. But can he run to space? Can he use his athleticism? Can he win some leverage battles and make a play on the ball? Yes, but if you're going to ask him to win routes, I continue to not see much that gets me excited about that being the way that he wins.
Joe Marino, Locked On Bills. Couple more quick ones with Joe. So now that we're in between preseason games, Steelers coming up, joint practice tomorrow, and the news that we got yesterday at receiver, two new guys, Demir Byrd, Deion Kane, and Chase Claypool, Brian Thompson, out. How do you kind of handicap it? How do you look at the overall picture? Like, I don't think anybody really disputes that there's a top four right now in no particular order: Coleman, Shakir, Samuel, Hollins. But the rest of that room, you've told us, like, hey, they keep five a lot. They could keep six, but they've kept five in the past. At this point in time, I don't know, they got a lot of guys maybe battling for one or two spots.
Yeah, and we'll see what happens today, but I think the Bills are sniffing around at another receiver, so we'll see what happens with that. But you can tell, like you said, Joe, like, the top four is the top four. I think that's pretty cut and dry. I think the Bills are very much trying to figure it out with wide receiver five and six, and that includes giving the options they have a lot of exposures and opportunities, but also, hey, are there some guys that aren't here right now that we need to look at? And so I think it's probably a little bit of maybe some of their intent hasn't worked out. Maybe Chase Claypool was part of the wide receiver 5-6 conversation, and he's not around. And maybe they didn't want to see a little bit more from Tyrell Shavers and getting a chance and dropping a pass in the game. And KJ Hamler, maybe that was going to be his job, but you know, he muffs a return and drops a pass down the field. And so they're just, it feels like that's an unsettled position. And whether it's, hey, not satisfied with what we have, or just want to get more people in the mix, which would again indicate that not satisfied with what they have. The Bills are churning that bottom of the depth chart, and I think it's going to be fascinating if they keep five like they did last year, or if they keep six. And even when the Bills kept six in the past, I think what's kind of forgotten in that conversation is the sixth guy was Andre Roberts, and Andre Roberts really didn't play receiver. He was a returner. So that math could be interesting. I think that unlocks a lot of other roster decisions that they have to make, but I think that's, those spots are wide open, and the Bills want someone to claim it.
Right, and returning might be a part of that too. Hamler had an opportunity. Isabella, let's end on that. Actually, the return game. One, did you see anything unique in the kick return game in the first preseason, or really in any of the preseason games? And two, for the Bills at returner, I mean, Hamler bobbles that or fumbles that snap. He doesn't lose it. On Saturday, Hardy, I think, had 1-2, if I remember correctly. And the guys they just brought in had return experience. So does that feel kind of wide open right now?
Does feel open. I think with Hardy, you can't fair catch the ball inside the 5-yard line. That was going to be a touchback. It cost the Bills probably like 16, 17 yards of field position there. I think it's good that he caught the ball. And he's certainly an interesting part of this equation. But what's interesting to me, Joe, is the Bills are definitely a team that wants the opposition to catch the ball as close to the goal line as possible. And he felt like Tyler Bass maybe was a little long on a couple of those kicks. But as I continue to watch these kick returns, I think that running back should be the kick returners. I think you need some contact balance and some vision. And they're putting these little punt returners back there. And I don't know. I think the air gets taken out quickly, and it kind of minimizes some of their skill, and they don't have the ability to really break a tackle. So I'm curious to see if the NFL transitions to more like true running backs handling these reps as opposed to smaller, you know, receivers and smaller defensive backs.
Yep. Ty Johnson back at practice this week, so maybe we'll see. Maybe he could factor into that because he did a lot of that work last year. Joe Marino, Locked On Bills. Check out his All-22 breakdown from the preseason game. Great stuff there. Appreciate the time, Joe, and we'll talk soon.
All right, thanks.
Joe Marino on the Wester Hotline. All right, time out here. When we come back, there's an update on Brandon Ayuk. Also, a little interesting there, Joe said, maybe they're looking at another receiver. Well, we'll see. Brandon Ayuk? No, he didn't say that. They're not getting Brandon Ayuk. But something might happen with Brandon Ayuk like any minute. That's what the Jeremy Fowler report indicates. We'll let you know the details of that if something doesn't happen in the next 5 minutes with Brandon Ayuk. This long saga that's gone back to like February with this receiver. 6 months. We'll see. Maybe we get an ending today. That's coming up. We'll get some calls in as well at 803-0550. It's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy's off today. This is WGR. Friday foursome with Labatt and WGR Sports Radio 550 and Encore Golf. Every Friday we'll announce a lucky winner. Chance to play one of Western New York's finest golf courses, including Seneca Hickory Stick, Lockport Country Club, Diamond Hawk, or Cloverbank Country Club, plus a box of Encore golf balls, a $25 gift certificate to Encore Golf, and a one-year basic membership to Club Encore. Enter now at WGR550.com for your chance to win. Brought to you by Labatt Pristine, Refreshing Pilsner, Please Enjoy Responsibly, and Encore Golf. You just became a better golfer. Must be 21 plus to enter. Okay, so quickly, Jeremy Fowler report on Brandon Ayuk is that they are a phone call away, that a deal is worked out, the parameters of a deal are worked out, and it makes it sound like an extension between the Niners and Ayuk is on the goal line, but that the Steelers remain motivated on an Ayuk deal. So that's where we're at. It seems like it's Niners extension or Steelers are making the trade. And maybe we're closing in on a resolution. Time out here. When we come back, the poll I put up. What's your current attitude about the Bills winning a Super Bowl during Josh Allen's career? very split result. You want to share your opinion? 803-0550 is the way to do it. Jody Biasi, this is WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
I think it's probably a little bit of maybe some of their intent hasn't worked out. Maybe Chase Claypool was part of the wide receiver 5-6 conversation, and he's not around, and maybe they didn't want to see a little bit more from Tyrell Shavers and getting a chance and dropping a pass in the game. And KJ Hamler, maybe that was going to be his job, but you know, he muffs a return and drops a pass down the field. And so they're just, it feels like that's an unsettled position, and whether it's, hey, not satisfied with what we have, or just want to get more people in the mix, which would again indicate that not satisfied with what they have. The Bills are churning that bottom of the depth chart. And I think it's going to be fascinating if they keep 5 like they did last year, or if they keep 6. And even when the Bills kept 6 in the past, I think what's kind of forgotten in that conversation is the 6th guy was Andre Roberts. And Andre Roberts really didn't play receiver. He was a returner. So that math could be interesting. I think that unlocks a lot of other roster decisions that they have to make. But I think that's those spots are wide open, and the Bills want someone to claim it.
Right, and returning might be a part of that too. Hamler had an opportunity. Isabella, let's end on that. Actually, the return game. One, did you see anything unique in the kick return game in the first preseason, or really in any of the preseason games? And two, for the Bills at returner, I mean, Hamler bobbles that or fumbles that snap. He doesn't lose it. On Saturday, Hardy, I think, had 1-2, if I remember correctly. And the guys they just brought in had return experience. So does that feel kind of wide open right now?
Does feel open. I think with Hardy, you can't fair catch the ball inside the 5-yard line. That was going to be a touchback. It cost the Bills probably like 16, 17 yards of field position there. I think it's good that he caught the ball. And he's certainly an interesting part of this equation. But what's interesting to me, Joe, is the Bills are definitely a team that wants the opposition to catch the ball as close to the goal line as possible. And he felt like Tyler Bass maybe was a little long on a couple of those kicks. But as I continue to watch these kick returns, I think that running back should be the kick returners. I think you need some contact balance and some vision. And they're putting these little punt returners back there. And I don't know. I think the air gets taken out quickly, and it kind of minimizes some of their skill. And they don't have the ability to really break a tackle. So I'm curious to see if the NFL transitions to more like true running backs handling these reps as opposed to smaller, you know, receivers and smaller defensive backs.
Yep. Ty Johnson back at practice this week, so maybe we'll see. Maybe he could factor into that because he did a lot of that work last year. Joe Marino, Locked On Bills. Check out his All-22 breakdown from the preseason game. Great stuff there. Appreciate the time, Joe, and we'll talk soon.
All right, thanks.
Joe Marino on the Western Hotline. All right, timeout here. When we come back, there's an update on Brandon Ayuk. Also, a little interesting there, Joe said, maybe they're looking at another receiver. We'll see. Brandon Ayuk? No, he didn't say that. They're not getting Brandon Ayuk. But something might happen with Brandon Ayuk like any minute. That's what the Jeremy Fowler report indicates. We'll let you know the details of that if something doesn't happen in the next 5 minutes with Brandon Ayuk. This long saga that's gone back to like February with this receiver. 6 months. We'll see. Maybe we get an ending today. That's coming up. We'll get some calls in as well at 803-0550. It's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy's off today. This is WGR. Friday Foursome with Labatt and WGR Sports Radio 550 and Encore Golf. Every Friday, we'll announce a lucky winner. Chance to play one of Western New York's finest golf courses, including Seneca Hickory Stick, Lockport Country Club, Diamond Hawk, or Cloverbank Country Club, plus a box of Encore golf balls, a $25 gift certificate to Encore Golf, and a one-year basic membership to Club Encore. Enter now at WGR550.com for your chance to win. Brought to you by Labatt Pristine, Refreshing Pilsner, Please Enjoy Responsibly, and Encore Golf. You just became a better golfer. Must be 21 plus to enter. Okay, so quickly, Jeremy Fowler report on Brandon Ayuk is that they are a phone call away, that a deal is worked out, the parameters of a deal are worked out, and it makes it sound like an extension between the Niners and Ayuk is on the goal line, but that the Steelers remain motivated on an Ayuk deal. So that's where we're at. It seems like it's Niners extension or Steelers are making the trade. And maybe we're closing in on a resolution. Time out here. When we come back, the poll I put up. What's your current attitude about the Bills winning a Super Bowl during Josh Allen's career? Very split result. You want to share your opinion? 803-0550 is the way to do it. Jody Biasi, this is WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.